Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Evening, everybody. You doing okay? It's always attacks your emotions, doesn't it, when you say stuff like that? Unless you're dead. In which case, maybe it should touch your emotions when you say stuff like that. There's an awesome sense of God is turning things upside down and allowing certain things to take place, so that people turn their lives the right way up and find God. And as Andrew said, there are many, many people of other faiths who are seeing open vision, closed vision. What does that mean? It means they're either awake or asleep. That Jesus is the Saviour and He is the only Saviour. And that is awesome. So we thank God for that. Well, we do. I don't matter the rest of you. We thank God for that. Because sometimes in our Western culture, in our Worthing culture, and in our leisure centre culture, we forget that everybody without Christ is cold. We lose the sense that everybody without Jesus is lost. We lose this sense that anybody who doesn't know Jesus, whatever their culture or their colour, they're bound. Because that's how the Bible describes them. So when you see stuff like that, it just reminds me that there's tremendous need outside of the world of our life. But the love of God is more than enough to meet every need, isn't it? But it also reminds me and challenges me that you don't have to go to Iraq to find people that need the love of Jesus. You'll find that you probably live near some. I suspect. And as you know, we've been kind of looking at, and continue to look at tonight, and particularly next Sunday, really encourage you to bring yourself, friends, because Jamali, we've been praying for, tonight he's actually speaking next Sunday evening about how do we love people with the love of God when people have different faiths and different beliefs. And I know many, many people who live that and do that, but he's up there with the stars. Because he has such a love for Jesus, such a love for people, that you will really get touched and that will really minister to you and bless your heart next Sunday. So that's next Sunday evening, is how do we love people of other faiths and other religions. That's awesome. Just turn to the person next to you and say, I'm going to come to that. I'm going to bring a friend. I'm going to bring a friend. Come on. Hallelujah. So again, I just want to reinforce the welcome that Andrew gave. It's great to see you here. I'm just so thankful that God is here first. I don't know whether you know that. We were praying and suddenly kind of God begins to pray. We were kind of singing and suddenly God begins to worship and we just join him. We were kind of hearing words and suddenly God begins to speak and we hear a different kind of word. And we're not here as Kingdom Faith in Worthing just to have service, but actually to meet with Jesus and to hear from Jesus and to be inspired by Jesus and then to go out in the name of Jesus. Let's put it this way. I believe our Sundays increasingly will become like a Jerusalem, where there's the priestly role, there's the prophet role, there's the king role, there's all kinds of offering role. But the reason for this tremendous encounter on Jerusalem on a Sunday is so that we can go into our Jerichos on Monday and change them. So as we kind of move forward, it's really exciting. God, we're catching the wind of what God is saying. But God wants to see many, many people, multitudes, give their life to Jesus who probably live next door to you right now. God wants to capture their hearts, capture their imaginations with a different hope and a different destiny. And most of those people, you probably know who they are. Anyway, fair enough. I think that's exciting. We're here for people who don't know what we know yet. And so as we've been looking over these messages, and Pastor Gary last week brought a tremendously encouraging, inspirational kind of little Bible study and behind the scenes of truth about why should we love each other in the body of Christ? It's because Jesus loves it passionately. He loves it when we're living love in action. He loves it when we're sorting out relationships. He loves it when we're seeing one another built up and strengthened. He loves it when we're being the best in Christ that we can be. God loves that. He loves it so much, he was prepared to pay for it, to invest in it, to oversee it, to manage it, to create it, to form it, and to shape it. Jesus loves it enough to be involved right in the middle of that building project called the body of Christ. Tremendous message last week. So if you didn't hear that, You can log on to that on our website. You'll find it in there somewhere. Or just Google search Gary Rumbold and his name will pop up with a message next to it. So that'll be brilliant. Tonight, we're going to be looking at another aspect of how do we choose love. And choose love tonight is about, can we really love our neighbour? Now, I'm not just talking right now to the person sat next to you, although it's relevant for them. Or maybe not just the person in front of you, but it's also relevant for them. But why, how do we actually love our neighbour? And a couple of the kind of the key words have already come out through our time together already. Andrew used a tremendously powerful scripture, if we see it in the right way, and it came from the Old Testament. And God basically says, if you're going to love God, love him with everything. The length version is love him with all your heart, all your mind, all your body, all your soul. How do we know when we've done that? Can I just suggest that if we've got love left for self, then we haven't loved God enough. Because the Bible says love God with everything you are. So if we've still got a bit of love for self left, we haven't quite loved God enough. And then it goes on, love your neighbour as you love yourself. And I've always had a bit of difficulty with this one, and maybe you have. Or maybe you're more spiritual than me. I have no idea. You probably are. But I've had difficulty with this one because when the Bible, it says, love your neighbour as yourself, that's great if I really know who I am. If I'm feeling confident, then I can love my neighbour with confidence. If I'm feeling up for it, I can love my neighbour with up for it. If I'm feeling a bit miserable, I can love my neighbour with miserable. Do you understand that? So this phrase, love your neighbour as you love yourself, is a bit of a double-edged sword. Can I put it that way? So when I'm feeling, I really want to love my neighbour, I really want to love the people on the street, then it's easy to love them more than it is to love myself. If I'm not feeling happy, like it's Friday afternoon and the world's kind of had a go at me and it's been saying stuff and wearing you down a little bit because the world tries to do that, then am I loving God as much on a Friday afternoon as I want to do on a Sunday night? Well, maybe that's just me. I have no idea. Maybe it's not you. But this scripture out of Deuteronomy, it says, love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Is I think there's a key there, and that key is it is possible to love God beyond ourselves. Beyond our experience, beyond our background, beyond our culture, even beyond how we have experienced love. We can love God more than we have been loved. It's cool. That means whoever you're living next to, or whoever you see, whoever you sit next to on the bus, whoever you sit next to on the car, or whoever you're walking in the street with, what this is saying is potentially you can love that person without even knowing who they are. How cool is that? Because if we love God, it doesn't matter that we don't know who they are. Do you understand that? Because sometimes I think, certainly in my experience, I find it easier to love people that I know until they wind me up. In which case I find that love looks like forgiveness, acceptance, overlooking sin. Because how many of you know that sin is sin? You were great at that. I was great at that. We were brilliant. We majored in sin. That's what we did the best. That's what we did the most often. That's what we did without exception. Sinners are brilliant at sinning. Please say you know what I'm talking about. Otherwise, I'm going to feel really bad. Because that was what my life was like. However, now I know that the love of God. Like you, if you've given your life to Jesus, I'm now a saint who sometimes sins. And so are you. But what that means is I now know God's love in a totally different way. Not as a dream, not as a fantasy, not as a romantic book, not as a film, but actually the reality of the love of God has changed me. Jesus said something like this in John 13, 34. He challenges us again. He didn't just say, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength, and then love God, so love your neighbor as yourself. He said that. He said, love one another as I have loved you. What? He said, love one another as I've already loved you. How had he already loved us? With everything he was, everything he was going to be, everything he could have been, he laid it all down for you and for me. Now here's another challenge, because the law says I just need to love God with everything I am. And sometimes that's good, sometimes it's not good, but my neighbour's affected by it. Love your neighbour as yourself. But now Jesus is saying, well, wait a minute, that's a bit easy. Because sometimes you'll have up days and sometimes you'll have down days. Sometimes you'll have a good week, sometimes you'll have a bad week. Sometimes you won't like your neighbour. Sometimes you'll love them. So Jesus says, I'm just going to make it really simple. Everybody you meet, love them like I've loved you. Yikes. Can I just chuck this one out? You don't know anybody at all who doesn't need to know Jesus more. You don't know anybody who doesn't need to know more about Jesus. It's a reality. It's a fact. It's a truth. It may not be our experience, but it is true. You don't know anybody who doesn't need to know Jesus more than they do today, including the person sat next to you tonight. Because I don't know about you, but even as a Christian, I've experienced something of the love of God, but God says there is more. We're encouraged tonight. Come higher. What does it mean? It means I experience more of God's love. Doesn't mean I'm loved anymore, but I can live in it more. And the more I live in it, the more my neighbour's going to be touched by it. So I'll just reiterate this. You don't know anybody, ever. You'll never find anybody that doesn't need to know more about Jesus. Even if they throw things at you, spit at you, run the other way, and even try and chop your head off. There is no one out there, no one at all that you'll ever find who doesn't need to know more about the love of Jesus. You'll never find anybody like that. Which means that our neighborhood is huge. Do you understand that? Daunting, right? I mean, man, I'm troubled sometimes. We live in a small kind of, what would you call it? Not a community, it sounds like we're mad people. Who?
Bungalow.
Do you know what a bungalow is, right? They ran out of money, so they bungalow roof on it. Okay. No, we live in a converted farm building, all right? We are sheep. There used to be cattle in there, now there's sheep in there. My wife and I, we are sheep. And we... they had horses because they're in a much posher one than us. We just had sheep, right? But in our little community of six households, there's, I don't know, 15, 20 people living there. And I'm learning that my ministry, which, as most of you know, travels around all kinds of places, starts there. It's not an attachment. It's not an add-on. It's not a, if I remember. What I have to do is remind myself, God really loves me, therefore I'm going to love them as God has loved me. So it's not a chore. I've realized this, and I hope I say this right, otherwise I will get in trouble when I get home. It's that what I've done is decided I'm going to love people and I gave up work. I've decided to love people and I've given up work. Because loving people is not work. Do you understand that? I made a decision, I'm just going to love people. And I don't work now. What I'm doing here is not my job. It's the least I can do in response to someone that's given the most they can do for me. Do you understand that? So I'm learning. I'm just going to love these people. It doesn't feel like work then. Hallelujah. Even Richard, mate, we're getting on well. There's a challenge that John says. Jesus said this. You need to love everybody. Not how you feel, or how you think, or how you think they deserve, but how he has already loved you and me. Right. Yeah. It's a game changer. It opens up two things, usually. One, the possibilities. Secondly, the lack. Well, it does with me. So we're just going to look at a few scriptures, and then God's going to move tonight. God's already moving. He's going to move in power tonight. He wants to charge you. He wants to release you. He wants to mobilize us, A, to meet with Jesus in a fresh way. And we've been doing that all evening, right from when we prayed. It was just a sense of woohoo purpose. But also, he wants to press the go button so that in the next days after this, man, you're just going to be loving on people. You'll think, where did that come from? Well, let me tell you, it won't come from us. It will come from Christ who is in us. Because Jesus says, how I have loved you, love them. We can't love people without the love of Jesus. We're just nice to them. And how many of you know that nice is just a biscuit? So Romans 13, verse 8 to 10. Interesting scripture, this one. Comes up behind me. Look at that. Let no debt. Can I just throw this one out? Here's a thought. In today's culture of finance and all kinds of ups and all kinds of downs, there's a whole load of vocabulary that has only come out into the Collins Dictionary and Encyclopedia to describe national debt. Like zillions. Who'd have thought of that? Who wrote that down when they were at primary school? Zillions. But this word zillion has come out because national debt has got so big that they've had to put a number around it and a name around it to describe it, and I think make it a little bit more acceptable. Can I just suggest that this scripture behind me tells me that I owe a zillion bits of love and bits of acts of random kindness to my neighbour. I owe them a debt. And so do you. Whoever is near me, whoever's in the world that I'm living in, whoever literally lives next to me or comes next to me, man, I owe them a debt. I owe them something. I owe them the love of Jesus. Because you can't put a zillion, you can't put a number around God's love. It's too big. But what that says is let no debt remain outstanding except, man, there's a debt that my neighbour has. And man, I want to help them find it. I want to help them fill it. I want to help them cash it in. Hallelujah. That's cool, isn't it? So this is part of, there's a huge potential out there, but man, how do I do that? We're going to find out how God works this in our hearts and lives in a few minutes, and you'll be very encouraged to hear that, because otherwise we think, man, there's 118,000 people living worthy, absolutely, and we owe them all a debt to love them. We owe them all a debt to love them until there's nothing of us left. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength, right? So what's left for us? Nothing. The love of God is left for us. Is this making some sense to anybody? Please say yes. Yes. Matthew 5, 38 to 42 says this. This is really funny. This is Jesus. He says, you've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I think this is weird. Does that mean there's a load of blind, toothless people walking around Worthing? It's just, to me, it's just like, what, really? How many of us in our Christian experience, or maybe we've heard, because you know, maybe it's not us, but we've heard this kind of lifestyle? Well, you know, they're a bit mean to me, or, you know, I didn't like the praise songs, or I didn't like the way they led, or I just didn't like the way they lived as a Christian. I have no idea. But what Jesus is saying is, mate, if we live just with the law, we're going to end up like a load of blind, toothless people. Well, that's my understanding of this. I'll tell you what, the church has been blind and toothless too long. God is putting light back in the eye and he's putting teeth back in the mouth. The world has had all of the press. The world thinks it knows how to love. Only God knows how to love. But what this is saying, Jesus says, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, and so, that's happened to me a few times, literally, turn to them the other cheek. What does this mean? It means my heart is to always forgive. It's always to overlook what people can't see because they've got one eye missing. But you can see it because both your eyes have been opened. You understand that? This is an attitude. This is what the love of Jesus for our neighbor can look like with God's help. And anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, you can have this one if it fits. Hand over your coat as well. What's that talking about? Well, in the day, any Roman slave could ask any Jewish person for their coat and they had to give it to them. What Jesus is saying is, where there's a need, meet it. Where there's lack, fill it. Why do you think we're collecting all these bags of clothes? Because we want to send... No, because there's people out there that need to know that God loves them and his name is Jesus. And the people are cold, they need a coat. If people can't sleep at night because it's freezing, they need clothes. There's also people around our lives that are in the cold. They don't know the love of God. They're in the dark. They haven't seen who Jesus is. Let's not just think that our mission field is overseas. The missions field is outside of our world. You know enough people, all right, that don't see, can't hear. You already know enough people to need the love of Jesus flowing through you in a fresh way. I know that's true for me. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. What's that like? When we begin to engage with our neighbours, sometimes they've had a weary journey, and so have we. But man, you've got to walk with them and talk Christ with them and share the love of God with them. Not just say, I've had enough, see you later, alligator. Sometimes we've got to walk, journey with people. That takes a bit of time, a bit of effort, but let me tell you, it will be worth it. Hallelujah. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. The Bible speaks about church, and this is one of our kind of values, is that we will lend to many and borrow from nobody. That's not just a good philosophy. That describes what the love of God looks like. At the moment, God has lent us as a people to this town to see God change it for his glory. Otherwise, we'd be somewhere else. You know, some of you guys here, you know, you've been lent from the Bible school. We really appreciate it. But we're not here to take great love of God to the Bible school. You should have brought that with you. We're here to see that love of God taken outside so that people see what love looks like. It looks like you. It sounds like you. Let's not be people that walk around blind and toothless because we've kept in this sense of law rather than we've moved into the grace. Law doesn't change anything. It just highlights the need for change. You don't have to put your hands up to this. When you're driving, you know, 40 miles an hour, you only feel bad when you go past the 30 sign. Because law has highlighted attitude. My question is this: what do you do when you see the 30 sign? Because that will determine how much you love God. Matthew 7:12 says this: so in everything, and this is quite a good one. There's a proverb that says something similar to this. In everything, just say everything. Everything. I'm just saying that for two reasons. One, to make sure that you're listening, and two, to make sure you're awake. So if the person next to you didn't say anything, then they're either asleep or they're not listening. So just give them a little tap, say everything. Just say everything. Everything. Just say everything. Brilliant. It's good that we've got a dog in this evening. What's that, a Scotty dog? We've got a Westie in with us tonight. He's going to give his life to Jesus in a minute. But Matthew 7:12 says this: so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. This sums up the law. What a great phrase. You don't need to learn all of Deuteronomy and all of Leviticus. We just need to learn this. Do to others what you would want them to do to you. How cool. Isn't that easy? It can't be that easy. Well, why can't it? We just make it too complicated, I think, sometimes to give us a reason not to. What the word is saying here is just do to others what you would want to do to them. Man, if you want to have a happy life, be happy to someone. Sow a bit of joy. Woohoo! Man, if you want to have a bit of generous attitude around you, sow a bit of generosity. Maybe, just maybe, we feel our neighbours having a go at us because we started it. Well, let me tell you, the love of God will enable us not just to finish it, but to change it. So here's some practical thoughts. Just going to go through a few, and then we're going to find out what is the key to loving our neighbour. We know neighbours are out there. We know already that you don't know anybody that doesn't need to know Jesus. We know all of that. If we didn't know it, we've been reminded of it. First thing is then is, who is your neighbour? Seek your neighbour. Who is it? Because there's nobody out of limits. There's nobody out of bounds. There's nobody beyond the love of Jesus. Therefore, whoever we see is our neighbour. Whether we see them as that or not, I have no idea. All I know is that how we see them will determine how we love them. So we need to find out who is our neighbour. Second one I found is, bless those who persecute you. Oh, hello. Blessing's a choice. Persecution is a force. Let me just tell you, your choice will disempower that force. So where persecution has come, the blessing is stronger. The Bible says that men and women of God come a blessing but no trouble in it. Which means as you bless, as you speak well of your neighbor, as you think well of your neighbor, as you pray for your neighbor, as you begin to prophesy for your neighbor, whatever persecutions come your way, it will go back your way. Because the blessing out of your mouth is greater than the persecution coming in your ears. It always is, always will be. Again, we are reminded that, I think Andrew brought this Psalm 1, blessed is the man who's planted by the river of life. That's you, that's me. But we're not planted there just to be a holy nursery for Jesus. We're planted there so that the fruit of our arms feeds people who can't find Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a reason why we're planted by the river, and it's not just to look nice and sway around a little bit. It's so that we can feed everybody that comes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The iPad's gone off. Come back. Bring your friends with you. There we go. Third point I've put is be real. Or don't stress to impress. Your whole life, my whole life, however we want to work it, is in a brilliant goldfish bowl. Everybody's looking at how we do life. God certainly is, isn't he? Everybody's looking at how we do life. Well, let's use that for our advantage then. Let's live a little bit more as if we're on show. First for Jesus, then for people. There's always a neighbor that's watching you. His name is God. I love the fact that God is my neighbor. Don't you? Man, he's my best neighbor. I've got a house next to his house. Woohoo! I've got a room in his house. So he is my neighbor. So I'm trying to learn. Everything that I do, everything that I live is on show. And it's all right. It's okay. Because when I get stuff wrong, and I do, God's there to help me put it right. Because he has already loved me. I'm not trying to earn it. It's like, oh God, I've let you down. He said, okay, get up, dust it off, sort it out, let's move on. Because he knows that if I get stuck, I'm not going to love my neighbor how he loved me. There's going to be a reservation around it. Jesus loved you and me unreservedly, the Bible said. Unconditionally, without limit. So I need to live without limits. The fourth thing is it's sacrificial. Sometimes our neighbors, these are maybe more literal neighbors, man, they just do stuff out of hours. They just play loud music and lolly, and they just come in and out and doors are banging. Sometimes loving neighbors is sacrificial. Have you found that?
Yes.
Okay, well, here's a clue. We are a living sacrifice. The problem with it, in the sense that it's a challenge, is that we're not a dead sacrifice. Wouldn't that be easy? We sacrificially give to someone, that's it, I've done it now, woohoo! But no, I have to. I get to do it again tomorrow. And I lay my life down for someone tomorrow, woohoo! I get to do it again the next day. Why? Because we're living sacrifices. Made holy and acceptable. Thank you, Jesus. What does that mean? It means when my neighbor throws back persecution, when I've touched them with love, man, I just have to, okay, Lord, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to try again tomorrow. But sometimes our neighbours don't live with our convenience in mind. Can I just suggest that sometimes it's the opposite? Sometimes it's the opposite. It's people just do stuff. Fifth point is keep boundaries. I like to see when people have got family, work time, days off, are they on shifts, are they employed, are they unemployed? Why? Because I'm interested in them more than what they do. Have they got kids? What age are they? When do they go out? When do they come in? When have I seen that they're around? When have I seen that they're not around? So I know not to be a pain, but a blessing to them. That's why I love going out on the streets with some of these guys, because after a few Tuesdays, there's a crowd in Worthing on a Tuesday. Generally the same crowd. They usually leave the house at pretty much the same time of day. They usually go to the same kind of shops. Particularly if they picked up the gyro, or particularly if they come into the job centre, you can see a general similarity. Well, that's our community then. That's the people we want to reach out to. But sometimes we got to talk to them as although they're not saved yet. They don't have the same boundaries that you and I do. Their language isn't the same. They use a lot more blue words than we have. They use a lot more jargon differently than we do. So we have to know these boundaries. Are you getting that? Don't expect people to be like you when you first love them. Because you weren't like you when God first loved you. Just a reminder, none of us were like this when God first loved us. Man, we were a mess. We were a mess when God first loved us. But he didn't give up. Next point is be a listener. James 1:19 puts it this way. Dear brothers, sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. That's why we have two ears and one mouth, so we listen twice as much as we talk. Because how are we going to love our neighbour if we don't listen to them? But then listening always results in talking, usually up, then usually out. And we really have to, when we're loving people, realise the whole world's our neighbourhood. And we're here to love them as we know Jesus has loved us, totally without limit, totally without boundary, totally without reservation, totally, totally, totally. That's the totality of the love of God. It says in Colossians 4, and this one's going to come up behind me, be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. People don't want your spirituality first. They want your spirit. Most people couldn't give a rip whether you believe in praying in tongues or not. They're not really that bothered if you move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit or not. Jesus is. What people are more interested in is whether you've got time for them or not. You move in the Holy Spirit, and we're going to look at that in a moment, you will have words for them. You will have knowledge for them. You will turn up in the right place at the right time for them. The Bible says twice, everybody should pray in tongues. Brilliant. Why? Because it keeps your voice alive. It keeps your vocal tract going. It fills you with faith and knowledge. It's awesome. So we can't love our neighbor as Christ loved us without Christ's ability to do that. It goes on in this little phrase in Colossians, let your conversation be always, say always, full of grace. I like that. Season with salt so that you may know how to answer everyone. So on a Sunday, I'll just tell you a bit of a secret now. I thank God for the people that God's bringing, but I'm always looking for the anyones who don't know the someone that I do. I'm always looking for everybody to come to the party and Jesus is in the middle of it. I'm always looking for people to come in into the world that God is making so that they can experience Jesus like I've experienced Jesus. Because a whole bunch of everyone's outside of our world. There's a whole bunch of anyone's outside of our world and Jesus loves them all. Anyone who comes within our house, so Sunday evening at the moment, in 6 weeks' time, it won't be, it'll be the morning. I don't care who it is. Whoever comes in our house, man, they are special. They're loved by God. They may not have a clue. They might have no experience. But that's how we want to see them. That's how we want to reach out to them. We want to demonstrate to them what love looks like and sounds like today. But how can we do that? I hear you ask. The clue's Mark 9:49. That won't come up. Or will it? Yes, it will. You can only love your neighbour in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because as a Christian, I'm assuming most of us know Christ, we've given our life to Jesus, sometimes we just get a bit tired and weary, and sometimes our words, they just don't flow, or maybe it's just like hitting a brick wall. In other words, we've lost our ability to add flavour to the world that God's put us into, to bring preservation around it, refreshment around it, which is what salt does. We've lost maybe our perception that we can come in and change what it looks like. Well, God's got an answer to that. It's called the Holy Spirit. So whether we're feeling as if, yeah, I'm on it, I understand that, or whether we don't, The answer is still the same. It's the Spirit of love. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the presence of the one who loved us, who will help us to love our neighbor as he has loved us. And this is the amazing thing about God. Is God sets us up and says, love your neighbor as I've loved you, and then he helps us to do it. Because he knows without him, we're lost, and so are they. So Jesus says, it's okay. You just love them how I've loved you. But man, I'm gonna come and help you do that. I'm going to give you the revelation, the understanding. I'm going to give you the power of that love. Indestructible, unquenchable. You can't shut this love up. It shouts from the rooftops. It shouts from the graves. It shouts from your neighbors. I want to know Jesus is the shout. We need to do is awaken up to the shout and say, and I'm going to show you what it looks like. Because we might think our neighbor's not interested. Like I said, you don't know anybody that doesn't need to know more about Jesus. You don't. Whether they're Muslims, Hindus, I don't care. Whether they hate you, hate your guts, I have no idea why. They've probably never seen your guts. But all I know is that the Holy Spirit, when we let him love through us, it's sacrificial, but it breaks through. Let's all stand up, shall we? So this thing this evening has been, how do we love our neighbour? Very briefly, everybody's your neighbour, as far as God's concerned. But God is your first neighbour, which is why he says you need to love God first. Then love others as you loved yourself. Okay, I can kind of get to grips with that, but it's a bit variable. And Jesus comes and blows it away and says, here's a new command, here's a new covenant. You need to go and love people as I've loved you. But it's all right because I'm going to help you do that. You see, with the Old Testament, we had no help. It was just keeping a good conscience and keeping a good attitude. I'm just going to love God the best I can. But Jesus says, I know you can't do that. So I'm going to set the bar higher. We're going to help you reach it. Come on. I'm going to set the bar higher, but I'm going to help you reach it. Isn't that amazing?
Yes,
it is. So let's just close our eyes. Father, I want to thank you right now. You kind of challenged us tonight. It's been great. We've kind of met with you. But you just reminded me, and I think you reminded many of us, that we're not just here to be a neighbor of God. I thank you for that honor, that privilege, that grace to have you as our neighbor. But actually, you put us here to love the neighbors that you put around our lives. People in the workplace, in the home place, in the marketplace, people in the streets that we live in, you've put people around our lives for such a time as this. They're not there by mistake. They're not there because they're stupid people. They're not there because they're there to wind us up. We're there to wind them up to such a degree that they call upon the Lord. We're there to be the salt within their life. We're there to be the salt within their culture. We're there to be the salt within their experience, and that salt is the presence of God. So right now, Holy Spirit, if you want to receive the Holy Spirit afresh, we're going to do two things. First one, we're going to respond personally, because I've been challenged by this message for about a week now, so I've already heard this about 1,000 times, and I've tried to respond to it 900 of them, and I'm not doing particularly well, but better than I was, right? Because this is a lifestyle message. It's not always Sunday, hooray. I'll know how well I've responded by how well I love people tomorrow. Not by how well it's preached, but how well it's lived. So there's two responses. First is my own one. Lord, I just want to live as you've loved me. I know it can be done. Otherwise, you wouldn't have said it. I just, in my heart, I want to live like you've loved me, Jesus. That's the first response. The second one is this. I need your help. I just need your help. I just need your Spirit, Lord, because I can't do that. You're asking me to do it, and I can't do it, so help me do it. So there's two responses, and I'm sorry, I can't do either of them for you. But I'll tell you this. If you got a longing for the first one, Lord, I want to live like that, then you're halfway there. If you then say, Lord, I need your help, I want you to come out, and we're going to pray for you, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the Spirit of love will be stirred up in your heart. The Spirit of love for your neighbors will be agitated in your spirit because that's what the Bible says. So if you want to make those two responses, the third one is we're come out the front and we're going to lay hands on you. And we're going to pray for you for a fresh stirring of the love of God. Nothing complicated, nothing extraordinary. It's just this pure, indestructible love of God. That when we were powerless, he loved us. When we were sinners, he loved us. When we make a mistake, he loves us. But it's not just so that we become God's neighbor. It's so that your neighbor becomes God's neighbor too. Now, God is building a city, not just a semi-detached. God's in one bit, you're in the other one. No, God's got a city in mind. He wants to build row upon row upon row upon row upon row of men, women, young people, old people. They all know the love of Jesus. So, Father, I want to thank you right now as we just make these decisions in our heart. You hear it, you listen to it, and I know that you're going to respond to it. Lord, I want to live. I want to love people like you love me. But, Lord, I want some help. I just need your help. And I thank you that you're giving it. I thank you that right now you're kind of brooding. I can feel the brooding, the dynamic, the love. It just never stops. Loving. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. And I can just sense in my heart that God wants to charge and activate afresh the love that we already have. Beyond us. Beyond us. You get to a point where you just run out of words to love God. And he says, well, actually, don't just give me your words, give me your deeds. And then you just run out of deeds. So he gives you more opportunities. And then you kind of see those happen, and so he gives you more. And then suddenly you realize, man, I'm going to tell of great works that God has done. What's that great work? You saw that person that hated you suddenly become a Christian. You saw the person on the bus that you've met every day for the last 10 years. You never said anything to them. Then they say, why are you so different? It just happens. So, Father, I want to thank you right now. Everybody responding. You're responding to people that are responding tonight. Man, you need to respond in your own heart. Last time I'm going to kind of say this because I want to drag it on, but there's two things. One is I want to love people like that. I just want to. I need to. But, Lord, I need some help. And if you've done both of those, we'd love to pray for you. I'll be doing that. And Andrew, who led the service through, and Richard, who's over here. Now, we will lay hands on you, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the Spirit of love will come inside you afresh and stir up that love within you. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of love and of power and of a sound mind. So you'll know who to love and how to love them. And there'll be a new boldness in there to just reach out with the love of God. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So you just got a couple of minutes. If you want us to pray for you, we'd love to do that. If you don't want us to do that, that's absolutely fine. The Holy Spirit will lay hands on you. I'll tell you, after this message, everybody will get something. You can't sit on the fence. It's not time to sit on the fence, be an offense, be a defense. No, we're on the offense. We're off the fence. Because the love of God is offensive. It offends sick people. It offends deaf people. It offends blind people because it heals them, sets them free. It offends miserable people because it cheers them up. It offends people who are addicted because it sets them free. The love of God offends people in that sense. Just going to a couple of minutes because you'll be wanting your tea and coffee in a minute. You'll be saying, oh, Pastor, you've overrun. You're now determining the time of the next bit. So again, if you want us to pray for you, fill you with the Holy Spirit. So man, this week that you're going into is a life changer. We'd love to do that. Sheila's coming forward. Why? Because she wants it. Andrew wants it. Come on, we're just going to give this a 30, 40 seconds. Hallelujah. Thanks, Tim. Tim, you're a good bloke. We don't need any clever music. We don't need an atmosphere. What we need is a response. And it looks to me as if you've responded, right? Is that okay?
Yes.
And you'll know if you've responded because as soon as you say, I want it, a longing is released.
Right.
And Jesus is saying right now, but if you ask, you receive. So right now, right when we're standing... Bible says, how much more will I give the Holy Spirit for those who ask for it? Then just ask for it. This spirit of love. It just transforms, transcends us. Woo!
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.